afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, November 5th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday to you, too. And already November 5th, and... That means we're another day older, right? Or another day younger.
Time will tell. We'll see how we feel after tomorrow night.
Yes, as long as we're not any deeper in debt, right?
Oh, God, we don't want to go.
Don't want to go there.
Yep. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that's automatic. Regardless of who wins and who loses.
This is very true. Let's go ahead and do the market report today. And... Let's see. It is a Monday here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Gold was down 220 today at 1,231. Silver was down 9 pennies at $14.72. Platinum was down 6 at 866. Palladium has another stellar day, up almost 1.5%, up 16 at 1136. It's basically following along with rhodium. Those two are kind of, you know, when everything else is off, those two are rising. So we'll have to continue. And we'll talk about palladium later, but somebody asked me today about palladium. And, you know, we'll discuss whether it's a good buy or perhaps the timing is not correct, but we'll talk about that later. So remind me, Dave, would you please, about palladium?
I'm here for you.
It's really bad when we have to start saying, hey, can you remind me?
I know.
The USDX today is down 0.19 at 96.31. Crude oil down 35 at 62.79. And the paper markets today, you know, we're going to talk about Berkshire Hathaway. And if you listeners listened to the program last week with Greg Hunter, he pretty much did, you know, tell you the truth about Berkshire Hathaway. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later on. But the Dow is up nearly 200 points, and all because of Berkshire Hathaway. Well, we'll tell you how they get there. And it's certainly not by... not true investors. And it just, you know... It just doesn't seem to matter anymore, Dave. And that's the frustrating part. It just, nobody seems to care anymore about reality, about truth. So the Dow is up 191 points today at 25,461. The NASDAQ was down 28 at 7,328. The S&P is up 15 at 2,738. 10-year yield is holding at 3.20%. Euro was a little bit stronger. Hong Kong was down a little over 2%, along with Japan was down a little over 1.5%.
Looks like they don't like the thought of China being the number one champion in the world.
We are the champions. Yeah. Well, you know, I was up in the middle of the night, and I turned on Bloomberg, and they were going into the Asian markets, and Xi Jinping was supposed to do some sort of a statement. I couldn't stay awake long enough, and Bloomberg was talking about, this is the financial news program, not Bloomberg himself, and they were talking about, you know, if he would make a statement about the tariffs, about the trade war, and I didn't stay awake long enough to see if he did or not, because they just dragged it out for so long, but were you going to talk a little bit about that today or no?
We are.
Okay, well, timing is perfect. And let's see, did I do all the market report? Yes, I did. And, you know, I did talk a little bit about this earlier today. I talked about, or on Friday, I should say, about the renewed sanctions on Iran. They're kicking in today. And I'm surprised the markets didn't react a little bit more to this news than what they did. And the sanctions this morning, against hundreds of entities throughout Iran's energy sector, and its broader economy is promising to exert more pressure on their country. The return of sanctions, first implemented during the Obama administration, fulfills Trump's vow 6 months ago to ratchet up pressure on Iran. And of course, the Trump administration says it's going to lift the sanctions only after Iran's leadership in Tehran accepts its list of 12 demands. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said at a press conference that the Iranian regime, they have a choice. It can either do a 180-degree turn from its outlaw course of action and act like a normal country, or it can see its economy crumble. Well, I don't think they have a really good economy anyway, but the Iranian president, Rouhani, said that Tehran will evade the sanctions and keep pushing its oil barrels into the market, reiterating the nation's long-standing defiance.
Oh, boy, those sounds like fighting words to me. Melody.
They sure do.
A new round of punishing sanctions on Iran's energy, banking, and shipping sectors went into force after midnight earlier today. The list targets more than 700 entities. That includes individuals, banks, aircraft, and vessels. Now, Trump announced in May that the U.S. Was withdrawing from a 2015 accord with Iran, which lifted wide-ranging sanctions on the Iranian economy. In return, Iran agreed to accept limits on its nuclear technology program and to allow inspections of its nuclear installations. And Trump, who has long criticized the nuclear deal as one-sided and flawed, gave foreign companies 90 to 180 days to wind down their business with Tehran. Companies that engaged in sanctioned activity faced the threat of being locked out of the U.S. market altogether. So that 180-day period came to a close today, restoring a heavier slate of sanctions on Iran than a first round that went into effect after the 90-day grace period. So, you know, the latest round largely targets oil exports from Iran, which happens to be OPEC's third largest crude oil producer.
Well, you know, the list of countries that are exempt and that they can continue importing Iranian oil, at least for the time being. Of course, you have Iran's two top customers. You have China and India. And then you have Italy, Greece, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Turkey are also on the list. It's interesting to see Italy and Greece on that list because we know how strapped they are. They both have financial problems. Italy is, you know... You know, they're certainly having their issues, so they can't afford to have any disruption in their oil supply. So, and you have a lot of your European Union corporations have already cut back. The European firms, I should say, have cut off ties with Iran rather than risk losing access to, you know, to the massive U.S. financial and economic system. So, you know, the administration, you know, does have a lot of leverage in this because of that, because of the, you know, so we'll see how this plays out, how it's what they're going to do with, you know, the price of oil and our gasoline prices. And today's actions designate 50 Iranian banks and their subsidiaries, more than 200 individuals and vessels in Iran's energy and shipping sector, an Iranian airline, and its 65 aircraft. So does that, are those the ones that... are they designated to the exemptions or
the sanctions?
The sanctions.
The new round of sanctions apply to those banks and
to those 50 Iranian banks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of banks, we've had Europe's big bank. Their big banks and their stress test, and the results were released on Friday. And it revealed that all of the financial institutions in the European Union's wide examination passed the European Central Bank's adverse scenario. Well, isn't that a surprise? Of course they were going to pass. The stress tests were carried out by the European Banking Authority, and the EBA said in its findings that was published on the website that all 48 banks beat the common tier ratio of 5.5% under adverse stress, although Barclays ranked the lowest in the test. And let's see, Deutsche Bank. What happened to Deutsche Bank, Dave?
Well, Deutsche Bank did okay, performing better than some forecasters had predicted. They registered the core tier score of 8.14%. That, again, in an adverse scenario. EBA said under that scenario, the capital depletion across the banks at the end of 2020 was $268 billion on what they call a, quote, traditional and fully loaded basis, unquote. A tad technical. Basically, you know, that's the level below which, you know, you're seeing the red danger signs. The ECB added that the EBA test showed that banks in Europe were now more resilient to financial shocks. Presumably that means compared to the global financial crisis 10 years ago. Italian banks were also under close scrutiny, but managed to record satisfactory scores, according to banking regulators. UniCredit, who's Italy's largest lender, scored a common tier ratio of 9.3, while UBI Banca scored 7.4. The lowest score among Italian banks was for Banco BPM, which registered 6.67%.
What I would like to know is what their definition of is an adverse scenario.
Any adverse scenario that takes them below the, you know, their, what is it, the 5.5, the 5.5% ratio. That's probably just, you know, that reserve capital. Percent of reserve capital as a percent of total assets, I presume.
Yeah, but you know what's really funny? In an adverse scenario, when this is unhappening, people aren't going to know that they're going to breach that number until after the fact.
Yeah, until after their bank fails.
Until their bank fails, exactly. So it's like these stress tests. I mean, what good are they? They're good today, but the rest of the world is fine. But yeah, it's no one knows when...
they're meant to show confidence, produce confidence in investors and customers, investors primarily, that, hey, you know, the country's economy, the global economy is gosh darn okay.
Yeah. So give us your money, go borrow, go deeper and deeper into debt. So
yes, indeed.
Anyway, I think that was kind of interesting. And this next part is also Lowe's. Lowe's is going to close 51 more stores. So again, it's killing the retail industry. I'm surprised that the home improvements are actually shutting stores, but Lowe's announced a closure of 51 underperforming stores. You know, I heard this talk on the radio earlier today, and of course they define this as saying that, you know, this is no big deal. You know, there's another Lowe's within 10 miles, so it's just, we're just oversaturating the area. It's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal, you know, and they think that they're just going to replace the employees, that they can go to these other Lowe's stores that are within 10 miles and find a job. I don't think it really works that way. It sounds great, and again, it might build a little more of confidence, you know, for the investors and so forth. But Lowe's gave no detail of job losses in the move, except the one that I had just heard. And let's see, I guess also including Broadway and Chelsea in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Those are more in the upmarket areas, and follows the shutdown of 99 Orchard Supply stores in California. So Lowe's has been trying to find ways to catch up with the longtime sector leader Home Depot, and I like Lowe's better than Home Depot. I don't know why, but I do. But there's also the signs that Americans are spending less on housing as prices and demand peak after a 7-year home building spree.
Full disclosure, Melody, so do I. That is like Lowe's better. Although, truth be told, full disclosure, I do most of my big box hardware shopping at Home Depot just because it happens to be 3 miles
Awesome.
away, as opposed to Lowe's, which is probably 11 or 12. But be that as it may, while Lowe's is far smaller and less exposed to, say, Amazon and other online retailers, the closure follows a wave of similar moves by traditional U.S. retailers in the face of greater online competition. We've mentioned recently, Sears in particular, filing for bankruptcy, although there were some interesting developments I thought I heard this morning in that respect. We might report on that tomorrow. New Chief Executive Officer Marvin Ellison of Lowe's began restructuring after taking over in July and has said he was reviewing its real estate portfolio, promising to remove slow-selling products and end unsuccessful ventures like the Orchard supply chain, which happened to cost over $400 million in write-offs to the company. Lowe said today's announcement would result in charges of $365 million in pre-tax expenses. Melody.
Well, they're supposed to report their third quarter earnings later on in the month, and they do operate about 1,800 U.S. stores, and there's about 300 of them in Canada. And it expects the closures to be completed all by February, although there are some that might close immediately. And but some of the 20 U.S. closures are spread across states, including New York, I think Texas, California, and of course you have the 31 outlets and the two plants and a handful of Canadian provinces also shutting down. The majority of the impacted U.S. stores are located within 10 miles of another store, as I mentioned earlier. And I wonder, because we do get a lot of wood from Canada, I wonder if the tariffs have anything to do with,
Gotta believe
maybe in a
that,
roundabout way, but.
yeah, gotta believe that there's been some impact there. Surprised, although that, the story didn't mention that exactly. Now we're running into a break. We'll just mention real quickly, U.S. services expanded more than anticipated in October as economic growth, as reported by the government, remained very warm. This report says hot. The ISM non-manufacturing index registered 60.3% in October, a little bit above the 59.3 expected from a survey. It jumped 61.6 in September, which was its fastest expansion on record.
Well, you were right about that. We were running right into the break, and there it is. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Soderstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs live at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, or you can listen to the archives along the long-term archive. So either or, dgscoins.com. And I just have a little announcement to make. Dave had to unexpectedly leave me, so I'm flying solo today, ladies and gentlemen. And does make sure you keep him in his prayers. His daughter, she's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant and having a little bit of an issue. So keep him in your prayers. Keep her in the prayers and the baby in prayers. And we do have a caller. I should say I have a caller. Bob in Canada. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Thank you very much. I guess it was opportune that your guest is gone and you can talk with me.
There you go. You're my new co-host today, Bob. What do you want to talk about?
There's a couple of things I think Americans should know. First of all, we have a postal strike here in Canada. The postal workers are on a series of rotating strikes, 24-hour strikes, but they're pretty much messing up any mail. So I think we're not going to have a Christmas either due to the strikes. So if any of you are planning on sending anything to Canada, I would hold off until the strike situation is settled, if they ever settle it, because we've been going on for almost a year now.
Wow.
The negotiations, but the strikes have started, say, a month ago.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you giving us an update on that.
The second thing I want to talk about, you know, I listen to shortwave a lot, and I have never heard so many pastors, so many reverends, so many theologians say that the United States is a Christian nation. I want to bring up the
convoy.
I'm sorry?
We're supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm drawing that into question now. There's a convoy from South America walking to the United States, and, you know, they're sick and tired and poor, and I'm sure some of them have died. And the reaction is by the government is to deploy military troops along the border. And Donald Trump suggested they should be shot.
Well,
indirectly. He said to treat a rock as though it were a gun. So,
and he did walk back that statement. I did hear him walk back that statement. He says, of course, we don't want to do that. But let me ask you a question.
Right?
Why can't people recognize the difference between legal and illegal? These people are not being denied entrance if they come to this country legally. So,
well, I was coming
so
to
if they.
That.
Huh?
I'm comparing to that, well, legal and illegal is a terms that developed by humans.
There's proper procedures to do things. There's proper procedures that you follow. And granted, there's military going down there, but intense, but they'll probably be taken better care of. I mean, even when they showed these pictures in these so-called cages and stuff, these children were getting, it doesn't matter whether I agree with or disagree with it, but they were being treated properly. I wasn't there, so if there was any mistreatment, I can't say there was or there wasn't, but there really wasn't a whole lot of reporting saying that they were mistreated, so I'd have to say they were treated pretty good, probably better than what they had anywhere else. We just want the borders protected. We want them to come here with the proper procedures. Because if they come into this country illegally, then they're already starting off illegal. Then there's other things that they can't do because they're illegal. They can't become a part of society because they're illegal. They have to hide. They can't participate. Because they're illegal, and then they'll be taken back out of this country. So, and it's not fair to the ones who do it properly, who follow the proper procedures. If you're going to a movie, and you jip in line, yeah, people get a little upset with that. You know, so get to the back of the line and wait your turn. They're welcome.
Okay, I understand your point. And legally, you have a case. If you went to court, you would win. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian nation, let's look at what Jesus Christ said. He said, if a man bids you go with him a mile, walk with him 2 miles. And if a man asks you for your shirt, give him your coat as well. And he also said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon meaning wealth. You have to decide. Are you going to be a Christian, or are you just going to be a person who's looking for as much money as they can make?
Well,
so
I think...
I say it's our Christian duty to help these poor people, if you're going to call yourself a Christian.
And we would help them if they came through the proper procedures. This country would help them. They do help many. We already help many. I mean, all the ones that are already here are getting help. So you can't really use that as an argument either, but... We're not here to argue. We're just here talking, so.
Yeah, I don't believe Jesus said anything about proper procedures.
We help many that are in this country already.
And so does Canada.
And the thing of it is, you know what? You know what, Bob? This country is bankrupt to begin with.
So is Canada.
So, I mean, how many people do we end up helping before we go belly up again? I mean, sometimes you have to, you know, fix issues. But again, these people are welcome here if they come in here the proper way. And that's what we're saying. So, is there anything else that you'd like to discuss, Bob?
I think we've covered my points. But I do remember Pastor Butch advocating the use of troops to prevent this invasion. And if he's a pastor and a Christian,
you should have called tomorrow then, Bob.
I don't know if the show has been in poor shape, and
I'll bring this issue up with them tomorrow. If I remember, I'll bring this issue up with them tomorrow. It should be a hectic day tomorrow with the election and everything, but I'll bring this up with we'll discuss that.
Yeah, shortwave has been very poor this summer for months, and this is few times I've been able to actually hear your show. I took advantage just to make these two points, the mm-hmm. postal interruption and questioning the nature of, you know, your Christian okay. beliefs.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, nice to talk to you. Maybe I'll talk to you again sometime.
All righty, Bob. Take care, and God bless. Well, you know, renters are worse off than homeowners. This one falls under the category of not everyone is reaping the supposed economic boom equally. You have financial stress visits renters more than it does homeowners. And that was the main takeaway from a new report by the Urban Institute. This is a nonpartisan think tank in Washington, one of many, I guess. But rental costs are rising much faster than renter salary. And again, we talk about wages. And, you know, you have these costs, they're rising higher than their salaries. Between 1960 and 2016, the median income for a renter grew by just 5%. But during the same period, the median rent ballooned by more than 60%. And this is according to the Joint Center for Housing Studies of Harvard University. And both these figures do account for inflation. So to be sure, buying a house has also become harder for many Americans. To do so now costs four times the median household income. The homeownership rate fell to 63% in 2016, and that's the lowest rate in a half a century. And, you know, it sort of just boggles the mind. I mean, when we're talking about reality and truths and so forth, here you have homeownership is so important in this country, and it fell to 63% in 2016, the lowest rate in half a century. But yet, supposedly, the unemployment is at the best number in history of this country. So, I mean, these numbers, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, these numbers really just don't mesh. You know, the senior research associate at the Urban Institute said that, renters, of course, seem to be worse off. Some of the findings out of its 2017 Well-Being and Basic Needs Survey, which received responses from, 7,500 people, and they were aged from 18 to 64, and half of the renters in the survey reported a material hardship in the past year compared with one-third of the homeowners. More than one-quarter of U.S. renters in the survey were not confident they could cover $400 emergency. There's that $400 emergency again. Around 18% of homeowners reported low emergency savings. This report, this study goes on and says nearly 18% of the renters experienced a large and unexpected decline in income in the past year, compared with 14% of the homeowners, and more than 12% of the renters reported difficulty covering their housing costs. This continues to go on. Yes, I know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of numbers here, but we're just about done with this one. And I think this is important because it gives you another view of our economy in this country, and the condition. Over 15% of the renters say that they struggled to pay a utility bill during the last 12 months, while 11% of the homeowners did. You know, 15% of the renters are just struggling to pay the utility bill. 11% of the homeowners struggled to pay a utility bill. And so it seems like the renters might be a little worse off, but it's also clear that homeowners are also struggling with their bills. And it seems that some of them are having to make trade-offs in just meeting their basic needs. There was another report today. We'll be heading into a break in 4 minutes. Maybe I'll be able to finish this up, but David Stockman warns of a market plunge. And we talk a lot about David Stockman here on this program, and Dave actually wrote an article about this. It's in this week's American Survival newsletter, And so go to the website, dgscoins.com, sign up for the weekly newsletter. It hasn't been published yet. We're working on it now. And But David Stockman has been forewarning of a major game-changing paper market plunge, as we have, and it's always good to talk about other ones who are also forewarning of a major game-changing paper market plunge. So we all know Stockman. He's a former congressman from Michigan and later Ronald Reagan's budget director from 1981 to 1984. Since this last, late last September, he started to caution us about the tax overall plan and the Federal Reserve policy. And he admonished that both factors could play heavily into a severe stock market sell-off. He says there's a correction every 7 to 8 years, and they tend to be anywhere from the 40 to 70%. And in mid-January, he then alerted us that the Fed would be dumping about $600 billion a year of existing treasuries onto the market, just as the federal government was looking to borrow $1.2 trillion more. And if you don't think that this is a financial collision waiting to happen, he says that I'm not sure what would be. We are heading for a thundering collision in the bond market that will drive yields upward far more than what the market is expecting. And it was also argued that the bond prices will collapse when the interest rates begin to rise beyond expectations. Then you're going to see the stock market, that the stock prices will fall big time when the underlying cheap debt, the massive stock buybacks, and other artificial factors supporting the market today finally reverse. Then it was in early June that Stockman began intensifying his bear case, and he started predicting that there would be a stock market crash of 50%, and he calls this a daredevil market. He says it's all risk, and it is, and very little reward in the path ahead, unless you're in gold and silver. There's a lot of reward holding gold and silver at this moment. He said that this market is just way, way overpriced for reality. And, you know, those thoughts came as the NASDAQ was reaching all-time highs again. The S&P 500 could easily drop to 16 or less because earnings could drop to $75 a share the next time we have a recession. He says we're about 8 or 9 years into this expansion. Everything is crazily priced. And just last week, Stockman warned that a 40% market plunge is closing in on Wall Street. And I know something else that was closing in is a break. So I'll be back. I'm flying solo today. Thank you for joining. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I don't hear the music, so I'm assuming that you do. And there it is. I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We got a lot of specials going on today. You know what? This morning I got something for one of my buyers. This is such a neat deal. Now, this isn't for the average guy. Who's looking just to, you know, preserve his wealth. And, you know, if he's got buku money and, you know, he's looking for something to add to his portfolio, if you already have a significant gold and silver portfolio, this might be something to add. It's really kind of neat. Now, it was this morning. I'm assuming it's, I think it's still available, but it could have been sold already. But it's the complete 24-piece, and it's certified by PCGS, Mint State 64-piece dollar set. The set, it's highly appealing. It's all PCGS. It's mostly color-free. It's a very well-matched PCGS Mint State 64 set. So you have dates from 1921 through 1935-ish, and it's complete. It's not the Morgans, of course, but it's the Peace Dollar. And the price on this, PCGS price guide is actually $16,765, and I can offer it to you for $16,000. So there's $765 savings, and it really is a neat deal. And again, it's not for everyone out there, but if you already have, you know, a bundle of gold and silver, and you're just looking for something a little bit different, this is awesome. And it's just an awesome package. Very rare do I ever see these sets offered, put together, and so forth. Maybe in circulated or so forth, but not Mint State 64 and PCGS. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And for those of you who don't want to spend $16,000, we do have American Silver Eagles is still a great choice. The 90% silver is a great choice. And I told Dave to remind me about palladium. Palladium really is a tough call. Now, if you don't have gold or silver in your portfolio, I would not buy palladium over gold and silver. It's really at highs. We don't know how high the price can go. It's kind of like the stock market. You know, it's had a pretty good run. So what's the high? We don't know. Usually, platinum will outperform or will be priced higher than gold. So to me, platinum is still a better buy than what palladium would be at this point in time. Again, we could see it go, you know, into the stratosphere, but that's, we don't know. We don't have any history to see what palladium, the possibilities of where palladium could go. There's no history. So we're in an area that we're not sure, just like the stock market. Platinum, we know. We can go back and look, you know, how many years to see that usually platinum will outperform, not outperform, but will be priced higher than what gold can be. So to me, I wouldn't touch palladium at this level because we don't know what it's going to do. If you already have your gold and silver and you have buku dollars and gold and silver and you didn't want the set of peace dollars and you wanted to add, you know, some palladium, that's okay. But just to add a couple of ounces of palladium in your portfolio isn't going to do anything for you. I'd rather have you buy silver or even fractional gold. So, and I have sold tons of palladium in the past where people have done very well, but they aren't buying at this level. So be careful when you see someone pitching something for one reason or another. Is it suitable for you? That's the first question you have to ask yourself. Is it suitable for you? What do you currently have in precious metals? How much gold do you have? How much silver do you have? How much disposable income do you have that you can add to it? And how much can you actually add? And again, 1 or 2 ounces probably is not going to do a whole lot for you. We saw rhodium. Now, if you had had an ounce of rhodium at one point in time, I saw it move from $400 to $10,000. And I used to talk about that example all the time just to give you an idea that precious metals can move in those terms. And I relate it to gold. You can see gold. We will see gold do those numbers because we've already seen rhodium do it at one point in time. So they do move, and gold will too. We were talking about heading into the break, Stockman, and I'm just about done with him. Stockman, he's not alone in his views. Everyone knows Michael Snyder. He believes that some sort of trigger event is going to cause a full-blown stock market crash. Snyder believes that so-called smart money, which he points out has correctly anticipated the overall direction of the market since 1990 and is already behaving as if the stock market crash is just a certainty. We have never seen the smart money get out of stocks at such a rapid pace. Despite the bounce of the last couple of days, there is definitely an atmosphere of gloom on the market. The ingredients for a perfect storm are definitely coming together. It may not be today or tomorrow, but at some point there's going to be a trigger event, and then all heck is going to break loose in these financial markets. And I think, I don't know if we have it in today's program, but I've already seen arguments, deflation versus inflation, and it's like, not again. I could debate both sides of deflation and inflation. We'll probably have both. We'll probably be various sectors, but we have to look at what we do as protecting ourselves, and that is going to be inflation is going to hurt the individual, our families, the most, I believe. So all jobs are going to be lost. So, it's the whole point. You can argue these debates, you can argue the points, you can debate them and so forth. The problem is there's going to be a situation, there's going to be a trigger event, and this is all going to come to a head. And we can pull out all different types of reasons and quotes from Stockman, from Michael Snyder, to anybody you want to quote. We have a fiat currency, and until that problem is fixed, there is no other road, there's no other path, there's no correction than when we talk about these events that are going to happen. Unless that problem's not going to be fixed until that event happens. So every day, regardless of what the gold prices do, our inflation creeps into our everyday lives, and we lose money against inflation. And that's going to happen as long as we have a fiat currency. The fiat currency is the heart of our problem. We are here today because of our fiat currency. And it really is as simple and as basic as that. So we can have all types of market crashes and 1,000 points. It can drop by 70%. We can have quotes from everybody. We can have all these situations. But the bottom line is, until our monetary money is fixed, until our money is fixed, we're going to have these problems. And you either protect yourself against it or you don't. And it's also as simple as that. You can gamble. It's okay to gamble. But you don't want to gamble with your utility bill. You want to gamble with money that you can afford to lose. If you can't afford to lose something, you shouldn't be in the paper markets, because that's all it is. It's a big rigged casino. And God bless those who have done well. But I don't know why you wouldn't protect what you have. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. But we're going to talk about American businesses are paying a little bit more in tariffs than they did last year, due mainly to the trade policies. Again, the wars. You had U.S. businesses. They shelled out about $4.4 billion in tariffs in September alone. This is a surge of more than 50% from the same month a year ago. Now, this is according to groups which are operating under a coalition that's called Tariffs Hurt the Heartland. This increase was largely driven by the $1.4 billion in administrative tariffs on the Chinese imports and foreign steel and aluminum. Now, this coalition worked with the Trade Partnership, which is a consulting firm, to calculate the cost of the tariffs using government data. Now, the administration has imposed tariffs on several fronts, including against longstanding economic allies. The measure cost U.S. companies, the measures cost U.S. companies about $545 million in September. And, you know, the more costly or what was even more costly was the tariffs that were levied against China. Those tariffs accounted for $800 million in September, even though the bulk didn't take effect until closer to the end of the month. So is the administration, I think President Trump believes, to think that his strategy is working. However, he has repeatedly threatened to raise existing tariff rates and add duties on another $260 billion of Chinese goods. And I think that's the first part of January. I think these are what takes effect at that point in time. So again, you have U.S. exports also suffered as countries fought back with tariffs of their own on American products. And we know these range from soybeans to bourbon to cheese. The boating industry has been particularly hit hard by the trade battle. Bill Yergin of Correct Craft testified before the Commerce Department just last week against an anti-dumping tariff of 120% on aluminum sheet from China. So as costs go up, he says, we can't pass all that to our customers. So that impacts our bottom line. And then as markets shut down in Europe and Mexico and Canada, that's going to reduce our sales. Now, Yergin's company is based in Florida, and he saw about a 16% decline in exports of goods subject to tariffs. Meanwhile, those exports that weren't hit by the tariffs rose by 17%. Let's see if there's something else that we can talk about other than the tariffs. You know, the tariffs go on and on and on, and it will eventually filter down through us. I wanted to talk a little bit about Warren Buffett. As I mentioned in the beginning of the program, if you listen to Greg Hunter's interview last week, he gave you the scoop, the real scoop about Warren Buffett. He's no genius. You know, he's a billionaire investor, but he wouldn't be where he was, you know, if he didn't have the help. And but he bought nearly $1 billion of his own company's share in August. Then you want to know why these markets are doing what they're doing. $1 billion. The buyback sends a really strong signal to the market. Through June 30th, buybacks for S&P companies were $367 billion, while capital expenditures totaled $317 billion. And some analysts believe that the buybacks will approach $1 trillion by the year end. And what changed is the new tax law, which gives corporate America more money to spend with the tax rate reduced to the 21%. And, you know, with these, when they buy back their shares, there's less shares, which makes their corporate earnings a little bit nicer. And again, it's just the system is rigged, and the poor investor out there that's out there buying on the dips doesn't get all this. You know, he's being told to buy on the dips, and that's what he's doing. Share repurchases surged 43% in the year's first half, versus a heady, if less inspiring, increase of 27% for CapEx. Both buybacks and CapEx benefit from the influx of this fresh cash, but the buybacks have benefited more. And we got a couple of minutes left of the program. So, again, don't be fooled by by all of this, the numbers that they throw at you and the confidence game and so forth that they're playing. Don't get fooled by it. Protect yourself. Again, we don't know if it's today, tomorrow, or next year, but I do believe it will be before the end of President Trump's first 4 years. So we're running out of time. Make sure you get out there and vote tomorrow, please. I'm going to be voting very early in the morning so I can get back here and get to work. I encourage each and every one of you to get out there. And again, don't listen to any of these reports on any of these stations. Don't get lulled into a sense of, we'll be okay. We don't have to worry about it. I don't have to vote. Please vote. Get out there and vote. It's very important. And I think in the world we live in today, I think every election is important anymore. So for your gold and silver, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I am out of time. I will be here tomorrow with Butch Paul. And again, remember to keep Dave and his daughter in your prayers to make sure that she is okay. And until then, I'll be back tomorrow. Be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.